Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
It's that time again, and it's always my favorite time, especially when we have the kind of football we had this week. The MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, and we have a great one for you. You guys know, you saw that Monday night game against the Ravens and the Browns. Simply put, game of the year. And with that game and all the games last week, the playoff picture is starting to crystallize. Speaking of crystallize, we speak with LeSean Shady McCoy to find out just how those Tampa Bay Gronkaneers are getting ready for the playoffs. And don't ever forget, we have your playmakers of the week. But let's dive right into this thing and start with the fun stuff. Big deal or no big deal? And we start right there on Monday night. Ravens, Monday night win over the Browns. That was a 47-42. In Cleveland, bigger deal, win for Ravens or loss for Browns? Trust me, this is such a huge deal. What a great game, though. What a great game. So many things got answered in this game. So many things got answered. And it was, like I said, the game of the year. This thing was back and forth. Good defense, hard hitting, turnover. Oh, my God. It was big plays, great runs, insane game. And let me tell you, bigger deal by far is the Ravens winning. The Ravens are now 8-5 because they got that win, and the Browns 9-4. The Ravens needed that win to stay right there in the fight for a playoff. But the way they got it is what makes it a big deal. Both quarterbacks played well. Baker Mayfield, 28-47. He had 343 yards and two TDs and an interception. Played great. I saw stuff. The last 2 weeks I've seen growth in Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson, he went 9-for-124. He rushed for 124 yards. 9 carries, 124 yards, 2 TDs. He threw the ball 17 times, completing 11-for-163 yards and 1 TD. It's a big deal because of how the Ravens won, and with Lamar Jackson using his arm in the end to get this win. It's what makes it such a big deal. We talked about it. Can he throw this team to victory when he's coming from behind? Lamar Jackson did that, and in dramatic form. I like Willis Reed kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Where he came out the locker room in the last second, in the crowd, everybody going crazy. Oh, and he ran on the field, made a big play to Marquise Brown, then came right back and did it again. I mean, it was just incredible watching that play, man. Bigger deal by far. The Ravens stay in the fight, and the Ravens get that win. Even though I think if they see them for the third time, things may go differently. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Eagles beat Saints. Oh, my God. 24-21 in Philly. Jalen Hurts become the first quarterback in the past 70 years to throw for 150 yards with a passing TD, and rush for 100 yards in his first career start. Wow. Wow. This ain't even a thought about bigger deal. Eagles win and Saints lost. Even though the Saints losing is a big deal. That's a big deal. But by far, the bigger deal is the Eagles and Jalen Hurts winning. You know what I thought about when I first saw this? Wow. I say, because I love stories. I love stories. I love to see journeys. and I thought about Jalen Hurts' journey. And I said, man, Jalen knows what this feels like. Jalen knows what it feels like to have a team stolen from him. The dude in Miami stole Alabama right from Jalen Hurts. Stole him. Right in the midst of a game, they thought Jalen Hurts can finish out his thing and then Tua can come in and take over. So they weren't planning on playing Tua. But they played him and he stole the team. Never gave it up again. So Jalen Hurts knows what it's like to steal a team, and now he got the opportunity to steal himself. And he went in there like a thief in the night, and grabbed his team. It'll be so hard to put that man back in the game ever. I don't care what you say, ever. He leads the league in interceptions and turnovers. Carson Wentz does. Jalen Hurts goes in there, and he doesn't turn the ball over, and he doesn't have any interceptions. He got hit. He's been hit more than any other quarterback. Carson Wentz was. Jalen Hurts goes in there, doesn't take any sacks, doesn't get hit like that. So the same exact team that Carson Wentz was losing with, turning the ball over, taking all of those sacks, it's the same team Jalen Hurts took and beat the number one team in the NFC with the number one defense in the NFC. And I'm telling you right now, Jalen Hurts, you stole that team. Because from now on, they weren't expecting you to play this year. But you just said, I got my team now. That's a hell of a story. The man that had a team stolen comes back to steal one himself. Jalen Hurts, congratulations, my brother. Congratulations. And the funny thing about that, too, did you hear some of the comments? Like one of the players, like the players in the locker room talking about Jalen Hurts came in, he showed great leadership. It was just what this team needed. Oh, that's that leadership thing we're talking about Wentz again. Same thing they were talking about with Nick Foles. And my mama always told me something, baby. If you hear something once, look into it. But if you hear something twice and three times, and there's one person involved all three times, there's some truth to it. So we're dealing with this leadership thing about two, three times with Carson Wentz, always involved. I'm just saying, folks, that's what my mama said. God bless her. R.I.P. Pearl Irvin, I love you. But she said there's something to it, and there's something to it with Carson Wentz. Jalen Hurts, great job on stealing your team. Rob Gronkowski. We talk about those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Rob Gronkowski passes Calvin Johnson on the all-time receiving TD list. Bucs beat Vikings 26-14. We'll be able to talk about all of that with Shady McCoy in a minute. But big deal or no big deal, Gronk passes Calvin Johnson. Gronk has now 84 receiving TDs. Calvin Johnson at 83. This is no big deal. Great job for Gronk. Gronk comes back. He gets to move up that list just a little bit more. And that's basically what they brought him to Tampa for, just to catch some touchdowns. So he should move up that list a little bit more. He ain't running away from nobody, so you can't get no horizontal separation, but you're tall enough that we can use your vertical separation. Just go post up in the end zone and let's play some alley-oop basketball. That's what he's going to do. Expect him to get some more touchdowns. Oh, my God. Big deal or no big deal. Cowboys win. Beat Bengals 30-7 in Cincy. Please, let's keep this thing moving. Come on, man. Packers win. Didn't they move it on? Big deal or no big deal? Packers, you know darn well that Cowboys win is no big deal. I ain't even got to say that. I know I don't even have to say it. So what kind of big deal is it? Talking about Andy Dalton revenge game. Revenge for what? Andy Dalton didn't do anything in Cincy, and he ain't doing nothing in Dallas. It's the same thing. Dallas beating Cincy. Like, stop it. Stop it. I don't even want to talk about it. Stop it. Makes me just hurts me in places I didn't know could hurt. Let's just move on. Big deal or no big deal? Packers win NFC North for the second straight season. Of course, they beat the Lions. Did you know Matthew Stafford suffered a rib cartilage injury? Likely to miss this week versus the Titans. Now, is this a big deal for the Packers or no big deal? And folks, this is a huge deal for the Packers. And it's not just because the Packers beat the Lions. We knew that would happen. That's nothing. That's no big deal. But it's what the Packers did and what the Packers get when they did beat the Lions. They got top row, first seat, driver's seat, whichever way you want to say it. They're the number one seed. And in this new world that we live in, where seven teams go to the playoffs, only one gets the rest. Only one gets the bye. And right now, that's the Packers. That's one thing that makes this a big deal for the Packers. The other thing that makes it a big deal for the Packers, the team they're likely to see in the NFC Championship game, if it's, is either Tampa or New Orleans, right? They played New Orleans earlier in New Orleans. They beat them 37-30. Rodgers went for 283, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Drew Brees went for 288, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. I tell you that to show you how evenly matched they were. Game came down to just a one-score game, 37-30. The Packers won in that great dome, in that great comfortable, perfectly temperature dome where the Saints play well at. But where the Saints don't always play well, out in the cold. And that's exactly where every team will have to come through to go through the Packers to get to a Super Bowl. This is a huge deal. Can you imagine the Saints leaving the dome? Or Tampa Bay and his Gronkaneers leaving that great heat in Florida to go to that iceberg of a place that is so damn cold that when we played there, all they do is like 10 minus 10 and they put it on the damn scoreboard. Every time you're looking to see what down and distance it is, you're trying to forget how cold it is and it just keeps flashing minus 10. Minus, I said, stop doing that. I knew it's cold. Take that shit off the scoreboard, please. But they won't. They leave it right there. And those dudes that play in a dome or you play in the heat in Florida, that minus 10 flashing on that scoreboard, it messes with your head. I don't care how tough you think you are. That was a huge deal, Packers getting the number one seed, because it gives them a big hand on probably getting to the Super Bowl. Last one, big deal or no big deal, the Colts beat the Raiders 44-27 in Las Vegas. Raiders have given up the most points in the fourth quarter, more than any team in any quarter. Do you get that? Do you hear that? The Raiders have given up the most points in the fourth quarter, more than any team in any quarter. Big deal or no big deal? I'm saying it's a no big deal. No big deal. We knew the Raiders had a bad defense. That's just the reality of it. I mean, if you look down the list, they're in the bottom third. In almost every category, two categories, I think they're ranked 19th, right on the outside. But everything else, they're 22 to 32, something like that. It's just horrible, a horrible defense. So it's absolutely no big deal whatsoever. I expected the Colts to beat the Raiders, especially with the way T.Y. Hilton is playing now. T.Y. Hilton, man, the last few games, he's been averaging 90-something yards a game, scoring a couple of touchdowns. He started out the first part of this season, you know, only putting up like 35 yards a game. So he's increased that. And then you got Jonathan Taylor running the way he's running. The Colts, they look like they'll be able to get in there and try to make some noise. Just try to make some noise. But the Colts beating the Raiders, absolutely no big deal whatsoever. What is a big deal? What is a big deal is LeSean Shady McCoy to give us all the information, what's going on with him, but what's going on in Tampa Bay. LeSean McCoy, that next. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Joining me now, one of the great young, I call him young, he's younger than me, I'm an old man now. Watch this, man. When I see somebody came in the league in 09, that's young to me. I've been doing this thing since 85. You know what I'm saying? I got in the league in 88. I was playing a national championships game in 85. Got in the league in 88. But this guy here is a bad man. He came out of Pitt over in that Big East, played Miami. So you know what that's like over there.
Right.
He came out of Pitt. He was the Eagles' second-round draft pick in 2009, six-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, NFL rushing leader in 2013, NFL rushing touchdown leader in 2011, part of the 2010s All-Decade team, and he's the Eagles' all-time leading rusher. And he capped that off last year with a Super Bowl championship at Super Bowl 54. The man himself, Shady, LeSean Shady McCoy. First, you got to tell me where you get this nickname Shady from, LeSean. We got to jump right into that. Where did you get Shady from?
My mom, she gave it to me when I was a baby. She said I was a shady baby. Like one moment, I'm hugging up on her. The next moment, I want to talk to my dad. I don't want to talk to her. So she said I was a shady.
Wait a minute, man. Wait. You usually guys get nicknames, you know, just from dudes. And saying something, so I can say, okay, maybe Shady, you know, maybe he's faking somebody out, you know, or it's like this heat comes down, you get too shady, you don't know who to hit, whatever. How do your mom, yeah. the person who's supposed to love you more than anything in the world, call you Shady?
He's such a shady baby. That's how I started. So, but you know how it is. Your homeboys here, your teachers, your coaches. So something like that, that's how it came about.
And that thing just perpetuate, man. I remember I was in high school, they called me Dirty Mickey. And they called me Dirty Mickey. I was the 15th or 17th, Sean. We couldn't afford washing them clothes every day. My mama told me, she said, baby, you can play football, but don't be bringing that stuff home thinking I'm washing. I can't afford that. So they would call me Dirty Mickey on the field. And then I'm in school trying to talk to a girl. And dude run by to her, hey, Dirty Mickey. I was like, oh, my God. So I changed it. She's like, what did he mean by dirty? I play football dirty. I didn't tell him I wasn't watching my uniform. You know what I'm saying?
You smooth, though, so you got out of that.
I tried to change that thing up, man. Try to change that thing up to make it work for me, man. LeSean, you're with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I know you got we'll talk about all the places. You've been traded to Buffalo and then, of course, playing with Kansas City last year. But right now, you're with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man. First, let me ask you that, too. Let me tell you. What is it like going from Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady? From Patrick Mahomes to Tom Brady?
I'll say what. One thing is, like, they're both so competitive. You know, they both want to win. You know, they have that leadership together. So it's kind of weird seeing, like, one leadership from a younger guy that's improving and getting better each year. A superstar definitely become even more and more. And then a guy like Tom, who's successful, who's been doing it since day one. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. So the way that they kind of lead is so different, but ultimately the same goal. You actually like break it down and look at them together. So it's pretty cool, though. I mean, I'm pretty blessed to be from Pat to Tom. Not bad.
Yeah, man, listen, that is the blessing. We get to see that. I told Emmett, I tell him all the time, man, I'm so appreciated I got a chance to see his whole journey. You know, Emmett was my roommate. And his first time, he said, oh, I'm becoming an all-time leader. I said, boy, shut up. Get out of here. We won four games in 2 years. And you talking about all-time leading rusher. But he ended up doing that. You know what I mean? And we get to see, we're blessed enough to see great men do great things, and we get to see their journey. Like you saw, you see Patrick Mahomes' journey, you see Tom Brady's journey. I think we're blessed to be a part of those journeys. But LeSean, you've had quite a journey. You've had a great career, man. I just reeled off all the things that you've accomplished in this NFL, man. So far with your career, how do you feel it has gone according to how you thought it would go?
I never imagined I would be as dominant or as successful playing this game. You know, I started when I was like 5 years old, chasing my brother around, you know, and trying to follow his footsteps. And to be where I'm at right now, I mean, it's a true blessing, you know, and I'm definitely anointed from God. And then I thank him every day for it. Just to see the things I've seen, you know, made the money I've made, take care of my family. Like, I look at football, it's like, wow, this thing has really showed me things I've never imagined it would show me. The impact in my life, even from, like, being drafted. I never thought that I would be drafted, you know what I mean, to the Eagles. And that's like a hometown thing for me because I'm from Harrisburg. And it's like an hour away, you know. And then, like, just playing with dudes like Michael Vick. I remember growing up and idolizing Michael Vick. You know what I'm saying? With the Michael Vick jersey on. He had that that big commercial with the
– that commercial, yeah, like the a pinball machine.
Michael Vick experience.
You know what I'm saying? Michael Vick experience, right.
You know what I mean? So to meet him and play with him as a teammate, him looking for me to make plays and meet his family, and I'm like, oh, that's something. It's like really a dream. Then even like the young dudes, like Josh Allen. I watched Josh Allen as a rookie. Like, this dude is special. You know what I'm saying? He got some to him. He wasn't quite really ready because he was raw, talented, tough as nails,
big arm.
Then you see him getting better and better and better. And now you look at him now, he's like playing like MVP status. So it's like this thing is so cool to really watch the growth from different players. Dudes like Frank Gore, who we typed, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't playing earlier I wasn't playing like middle of the year. And we talking about if I should do this, what should I do with the coaches? How should I approach them? Things like that. And we stay in contact to help each other out. You know, because you get older, they always want to put the young guys.
Yeah.
So Frank's telling me about his situation in New York. You know what I mean? So, but you build a relationship outside of ball, like a friendship. Now we make texts and send videos. I'm sending him pictures and videos of my son. He's sending me little Frankie G right now, who's balling. You know what I mean? So this game, man, it's really like a fraternity, seriously, forever, man. And I'm so blessed to even be part of it.
It is the greatest thing, honestly, man, that has ever happened to us. I'm talking about us, you know.
Right,
I'm from
right.
the ghetto, too. I ain't nowhere in the world. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, dude, this thing got us out the ghetto. You know what I mean? Really, and it's been a blessing to have it. And then on top of all of those things, to have those relationships, like, man, people don't understand. Frank Gore, one of the best dudes in the world, man. Frank Gore, one of the greatest dudes in the world, man.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel good. I remember.
And even that, like Antonio Brown. People always like create the narrative. He's this, he's that. I've been on AB for a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I know him, So then when he gets here, you know, players are question like, you think he'll fit here? You think I'm like, yes, I know him. He gets here, he's been perfect. He's been great. You know what I'm saying? That's another example of this like relationships where you can talk to each other. You know, outside of this ball. You know, the person living, man. How's the kids? How's the wife? How's the family?
Right.
We all go through them type of things where we need somebody to talk to, man. So this game has really been blessed, man.
And we're funny now, LeSean. What you're saying, we need somebody to talk to, but we're funny. We won't talk to anybody. That's why it's important that we hold on to those relationships. I did that thing with the NFL, like, you know, like we have to talk to each other. Because even if we go through things, I know guys that you know, I played a while, and they start going through things mentally.
Yep,
and they won't say anything to end.
A word. They won't say a word.
Nope. Now, if I can get them somewhere in a corner and we start talking or having a drink, they'll let me know, hey, man, I'm having something this, I'm having something that, because it goes back to our locker room thing. You know, it's like you talk about that fraternity. We'll share it amongst each other. But I don't know why it seems like it's sometimes harder to share with any outside of that fraternity, you know. So that makes a huge difference. Now, speaking of that, What has if he has Antonio Brown ask you when he came to Tampa? Did you have a conversation with him? Is there anything that he asked you about that situation?
Oh, we just embraced him with open arms. We talked to him about just, you know, we had regular conversation. How's the team? You know, the offense is hard as the play's hard and stuff like that. And how's the coaches? It was all just generic stuff. You know, it was cool. He's been great here, you know. And it's funny to see a guy that, like, kind of as old as I am, still looking good, playing good, still fast, still twitchy, you know. So all the conversations really has been normal. Good to have, like, I always say brothers in the locker room. Because sometimes you have teammates in the locker room, and then you have brothers in the locker room.
Right.
You know, and I look more to him like a brother in the locker room. So the gelling part, I think, with him coming here has been good.
Listen, man, you talk about him as old as you and still has that go. They hand that ball off to you last week against them Vikings. You still had that go, too, now. I saw you
run that thing. I'm trying to make it easy.
You hit that thing up the middle, and then you got it. Sean, you hit round that cross. Oh, he still got that get up in him right there, man. I see that.
I mean, you know what? To be honest, like, I think the only thing about the difference, I think, when you get a little older is the recovery stage. It takes a little longer to recover. You know, you might need some days to rest. And another thing is, like, I think it affects the people around you. They might look at you like, oh, he's older. You know what I mean? So it's always a question. So when you make a good play, it's like, oh, he still can play. And I think with this team, I'm so happy to even be here, man. We got some good coaches, some great players. I want to help out any way possible. So, hey, if it's come in the game and make some plays, running it, catching it, blocking, whatever it is, I'm down for it because I know that the potential this team has to reach the ultimate goal, you know. And it's a lot of young guys is really good. Like Rojo in the backfield with me now, he can really, really play. You know, Fournette, yeah. I mean, you know, things that work out last game, but Fournette can play. You know what I mean? So any time I get a chance just to help out, I'm down for it.
Did you hear what you said, though? Think about that, man. The evolution of it. I remember when I first came in, man, I was Everson Walls and those guys, they were sitting in the steam room. Man, I hadn't been out all night. I come in, run routes. I'm ready to go hit the bar again, hang out. Like, what are old men doing in the steam room? I'm talking noise at them. They said, okay, young buck, we'll give it 6 months. You'll be in here with us. You know what I'm saying? And now, hey, 6 months after, I was in there with them. So much so, I built the steam room in my house.
You know? Right, yeah.
Because it's that part of that recovery. You got to loosen that body up that you were talking about.
And it's funny because, like, Deuce Staley, the running back coach for the Eagles, he's the assistant head coach for the Eagles also. Now, we've real tight, okay? We've still talked to this day. And I remember when he was the intern running back coach. And I'm like 20, 21. You know what I'm saying? I'm rolling, right? I can hang out all night. They can practice. I don't need to stretch. I always say, man, you ever see a cheetah stretch? So he would tell me, hey, man, he would be rubbing his knees and stretching. I'm like, you're so old, you know? He said, McCoy, you know, he got a little accent. McCoy, I'm telling you now, in 5-6 years, I'm telling you, you're going to go through this. And sure enough, I wake up like, you know, so it always comes back, man. Always comes back.
Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room. Collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. And now you get the chance to tell those young dudes, you know, like, hey, listen, man, I'm just telling you, you want to be around this thing, you want to get in these years, you're going to have to do these things that I'm doing right now. Now, you're the guy that tells them. Now, how is that role for you? Now that, you know, you're the young guy coming in with all of the Frank Gore and Deuce Staley, all those guys helping you. Now you're the older vet helping the young guys.
Oh, man. I mean, like I said, I think that's one of my jobs also, that mentorship. Like, for example, you know, we have some young guys right now who have a lot of talent in the backfield, you know, and I'm always trying to show them different ways, how to read the holes, you know, knowing what type of defense you're facing, you know what I mean? So now you know where to go, and also take care of their bodies on and off the field, you know, things like that, because that makes you to who the player you are, you know, different adversity that they may come across during the year, trying to help them out to understand, you know, how to deal with it. And I take pride in that because before I never thought that I would have to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, look, listen, youngin, watch how I run and do what I do, right? Yeah. But it's more than that. And I think the part that I take pride in just actually, you know, teaching and showing and talking and then watching it play out, I'm like, wow, I really helped this kid out. You know what I mean? So that's big to me. And I enjoy it. I really do.
It's the peace that you get. I deal with it all the time, man. If I didn't try to give it to somebody, I would probably go crazy, man, because I would be sitting back dwelling on the bad decisions I made. Like, why'd you do that? Why'd you do what the fuck? What were you thinking? What the hell were you thinking? But now you can use those bad decisions kind of like a key to get into some guys that have made a bad decision. Say, hey, listen, man, I understand where you are. I understand where you are. You know, I had some right people to help me pull through it. And I want to be one of the people to help you pull through it. You know what I'm saying?
And also, like, I feel like as a player, man, certain people don't, they help you out, but they don't tell you, like, listen, this is a mistake that I made.
Right, this is the wrong that I did.
So when I talk to guys now, I tell them, hey, look, man, I've wasted a couple million dollars on this. I've messed this up. I've missed runs. I've done wrong. You know what I mean? I might have treated people not the way I wanted to be treated. You know what I'm saying? So I tell them my flaws, what I've done wrong. You know, and that way I could be an example. Okay, so, you know, like now I'm doing a lot of different things like in the real estate world where now I'm like actually educating and showing the young dudes, okay, listen, it's okay to get that watch or that car, right? But let's minimize that. Let's get one of them cars or maybe one of that watch and then let's put some money away for this. Real estate or that, or you know what I mean, different investments.
Right, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Life insurance, like all type of stuff that you don't even think about.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and I feel like I'm selfish if I don't do that.
And that is passing along, man. That's the whole key of what we're supposed to be doing. And that gives you really a sense of understanding of your life. Okay, I went through this to help the next generation not go through it. Listen to me. Don't make this mistake. Don't do it. And just like you talked about, they did this show one time where they said, what would you tell your younger you? I whoop his ass. Spending my money on this jewelry. You could have got them girls without spending that money on jewelry.
Right.
I whoop your ass.
We all go there.
Right. We all did that. We all did. Like, man, you should have been smarter. But, you know, it's part of the process of
growing up. I write a long book for myself, right? A long book.
Yeah, that's all part of the process, man. Let's go back to last Sunday, man. You guys take down the Vikings. And I thought, let me tell you what I thought when I saw Tampa come out. Now, I said this even going into the bye. I said, this is great time and a great spot for Tampa, this bye, because I guarantee you when they come out, during this bye, Tom is going to watch every play he's played this season during the bye and come out better. And I thought that you guys came out better, ready for the stretch run. How well do you think that bye did the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for this stretch run that you guys have?
I think it helped us out just from a lot of different reasons. One, I think you can see all the good things that you've done well over the period of the season. And then you look at all the things you didn't do well. You know, you try to fix that. You know, how can we have a game plan where it fits everybody well, where we're converting on third downs, where we're simplifying it for the players so you can go out there and play fast. You know, our problem, I think, on offense sometimes is that we have so much talent and potential.
Right.
You know, just, okay, let's turn it on. Let's turn it off. No, we got to keep it on, start fast, play smart, because we're a good team, you know, and it's like you're putting a lot of new pieces together, man. We're close, you know. You know that thing where you have so many good players, like, okay, how can we do everything for everybody? Where it is close to getting it together, man, and I'm really excited how things will play out, man, in the playoffs, because we'll be there.
You have a keen measure of what it takes to get there because you just got there last year. And you know, more than likely, if you do get there, you'll see the team that you got there with probably last year. What do you ever talk to the guys in the locker room about this?
We talk about here and there. You know, just we played them a couple weeks ago.
Right.
You know, they got better of us. But man, that's a tough group.
Yeah,
that's a tough group. I mean, they Coach Reed, one thing about him, man, he puts the team together, you know,
and then it's
really cheating though, because you look at the players they have over there and then you add Coach Reed's offense. See, everybody gets so like razzle dazzle with the players, which players deserve it because they are lights out.
But it's Reed, man. That's what I'm saying. This Coach Reed, man.
He finds ways to like make everybody happy. You know what I'm saying? Check the Eagles at the door. Everybody happy. Hey, listen, today might be your day. tomorrow might not be a day, but he makes everybody accept that, you know. It's like we got one goal and everybody plays the role. And he's a great coach, man. You know, he really is. And then Brett Veach, I mean, a GM that brings the players in there. They got a whole machine over there. So I think that we'll see him again. I have a lot of confidence that we'll definitely see him again. And I think we'll be ready because the hardest part is having a great defense, and we have that, you know. So the offense is what it is. We got a lot of good players. We're putting it together. And then you got the defense who's playing lights out. You mix that together, man, with some special teams. That's a championship pedigree.
You've been blessed, man. Well, let me just hit this last thing on Andy Reid, man. What is your relationship like with Andy Reid? Because you guys, you go back a ways. You didn't go back to Philadelphia days and all of that. He brought you in. So what is that relationship like? And let me tell you something. I love the man.
I love Andy Reid.
I love him.
It just shows you the type of coach he is in person. He had the last year in our championship game. So many, like, people from players to coaches, ex-players, ex-coaches, that didn't even play for him, that was rooting for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That just shows, like,
get his first Super Bowl.
Like, everybody wanted to win.
Right.
You know,
right.
And being how big San Fran as a team is, franchise, everybody loves, you know, the Niners from all the heydays and et cetera. But for everybody to go for Andy Reid just shows you the type of coach he is. I mean, he's been great to me and my family. His wife, Tammy, she's excellent. Everything about him has been A+. He's tough, but also he's fair. And I love playing for him. He's one of my favorite coaches of all time, for sure.
He's a mad.
The only thing we have problems with sometimes is back in the day when I was the man, he didn't run the ball as much.
Give me the ball.
I had to come hit him a little. Hey, forget about me, you know?
I have yet to meet a great player that has not had that conversation with his coach. I have yet to meet one. I'd rather tell him, hey, man, calm down, man, he's getting you the ball, then say, go ask him for the ball. I'd rather have to pull him back than push him out there. You know what I'm saying?
I be thinking, like, does a coach like a player to, hey, like, I want the ball, that lets him know that he's hungry, he wants to win? Or right. It's like, I want the player, like, okay, I'm not worried about the ball, you know, whenever you call me. You know what I'm saying? I never knew that.
No, you want that guy that wants the ball.
Jimmy Johnson, he didn't mind it.
At this level, and we know, I know people, you know people, man. It's like, hey, some people shy away from those moments. Those moments are some cute, crucial moments now.
Right.
You know, you mess around and don't make it right that moment. Your kids go to school, they talking about, you did drop the ball, you know what I'm saying? So those are crucial moments. You got to be sub to want to grab those moments. And speaking of coaching and moments, there's a lot this year when you're in Tampa. What is the locker room, and what do people say in the locker room? When I'll say this way, we in the media tries to make hay out of Coach Arians' critique of Tom Brady, like, oh, Coach Arians calling out Tom Brady. As a player, I always say, man, I don't hear that stuff. But it's impossible not to hear. It's impossible not to hear because it's everywhere.
And I've seen some of it, but, like, it's weird because Tom Brady, he's so tough. Like, I never played with a player as humble and as real as he is and doing as much as he's done.
Like
and the way he approaches the game, like, you know, if coach said this, coach that said that, his approach is like the same thing said to me. Hey, he's the coach, I'm the player, and that's how it works. It's like his mindset is different. Like, it's like you can't affect him. Good play, he plays great, 4 touchdowns, 400 yards, or he plays bad. You won't see it because his mind is so, like, developed. You know, I mean, he has that winner attitude. It's like nothing can affect me. If coach said I gotta play better, I'll play better. If this and that, you can never get to him. So when I see the media, they try to, and that's their job, they try to stir it up. Oh, coach call him. It don't even affect Tom. You don't even see it. Because from Monday to Friday to Sunday, Coach Arians and Brady, their relationship is tight. Like, you couldn't tell. They talk, they you know, they're drawing things up, X and O's, and they're laughing. So you know, it's one of them things where, hey, man, it's a working thing, you know. It may seem like it's something more than it's not, but I felt overall they work well together. And Tom, he handles everything perfect, so it's hard to really affect him.
Sean, later in my career, man, my last few years, I had a coach, Coach Chan Gailey, and he would say, he said to me, "So Michael, you're getting old now. I want to save you. You know, whenever they say I want to save you for later in the season, that's crap." That's straight crap. I'm sitting there looking at the dude. Hey, what does this mean? You want to save me for this?
Yeah, you look right in their face.
Right.
Like, okay.
What are you talking about, man? You know, in this business doesn't work. We can't predict later in the season. We need to win now, and we'll see what happens later in the season. You know, so he and I, we get into it. First game, we're playing Washington. I'm killing him. I may have 100 yards already in the first in as close to 100 in the first quarter, score touchdown. He said, "I want to pull you out the game." He said, "I'm gonna pull you out the game and rest you for later." I said, "What?" We were up 14, something, man. We were up. Man, they come storming back. They come back. Watch, come all the way back. And they're up. They're up a couple touchdowns. I'm on the sideline. Now he comes back. He's talking about, "Michael, we need you. Are you ready to go back in the game?" Boy, hey, listen, boy. I was this close to saying, no. No, I'm good. But then I thought, I love me more than I hate him right now. I'm going to get these yards. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I feel that.
I'm going to get these yards. But I was hurt. I had, and I love Ernie Mills, a great friend of mine, but I had Ernie Mills and Jeff Ogden in the game. I'm like, Are you joking? I didn't want three Super Bowls, but it messed with me. I did get back in the game, caught a couple, you know, caught the game time touchdown, and we won in overtime. You know what I mean? But I never forgot that. Sometimes I'm sitting on the side, I'm watching guys, I'm like, man, I could make this play. I could do that. Do you ever have those moments where you're seeing some young guys out there? You're like, oh, my God, man, I would have done this. I could have made that play.
Yeah, there's sometimes I may say that, you know, I can do this. I could do that. I may have made that play, you know. But, like, I don't try to get into that game too much because it only could bring out negative thoughts.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? Right. And I don't want to never put that negative – output to my teammates, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm thinking this negative thoughts in my head. So now when I do get the chance, I'm not ready because I'm still mad or dwelling about what happened before. I always try to look like, hey, man, I know. See, the thing is, you got to know who you are. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm not getting them calls and them plays, I know who I am. I can go out there and make that play. So then whenever I am called, right, whatever happens, that coach comes back and says, hey, Mike, we need you. Hey, Shady, we need you. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Because I know my teammates need me to make that play, and I want to do it. So to be honest, there's sometimes I may think that here and there, but I don't get too wrapped up in it because I don't want the negative things to display and show, you know, now I'm affecting myself and my teammates. And that's a real question, man, because that goes through it. You know, you're older.
It's
and,
real.
Yeah.
It's real because we're human. We're human, and it's not a bad thing. It's the greatest asset. That's what made you you.
I can that's right. Exactly.
That's what made you.
And then the worst part is like, you look at a player and a coach, you like, now you know I can make that. You say it when you look at them and say it without saying, like, you know I can make that play.
I've done it a million times. You've done it to the tune of 6 Pro Bowls and 2-time first team all pro that led the league in rushing. Like, I've done it. That's what makes it so, you know, when you're sitting like, okay, I get and to be able to manage that asset, not let it become a liability like you're talking about. It's not easy to do when you're a go-getter like you.
It's not easy. No, it's not easy at all.
But you got to do it.
Yeah, you got to be professional. This is our job. You know, this is what paid the bills. This is what I signed up for. You know, I didn't sign to be the starting running back. I knew that. You know, I signed to be a great teammate, a player to help the team out. You know what I mean? That's what I'm sticking to.
You said 11 years now.
You 12.
It's 12. 12th year now. 12th year now in the league, man. And this year is probably – well, ain't no probably. This year is different than all those years with this COVID stuff, man. So what has it been like for you dealing with this COVID stuff that everybody has to do?
It's tough. I mean, you don't really get to see your family as much as you want to. I mean, then you have, like, rituals you do each game, especially in the away games. You can't really do that now. But and also, in a sense, I think I can get back to just focusing more. You know, let it be all about sports, all about football. Even though I think family sometimes helps you out through the good and the bad, having them their support, you know, so that's been tough. You know, but hey, man, like I said before, it's our job. It's what we signed up for. It may be different, it may be odd. You know, we signed up to do this, you know, so whatever it is, you got to handle it, man.
That would have been hard. It's been, I always think about, man, this would have been hard for me, man. Because, you know, when we played, you know, all the guys, we had a row right in back of us. And we gave all our buddies those passes. You know what I mean? All right, our beautiful buddies were on that row right
there. I got you.
And it was.
Now that part is weird. Like, you don't see no fans.
Nobody in there. Right. And that got me juiced up. I'm looking at the road. Like, okay, let's go. I'm going to show out around here, you know, for that road right there. So, not having any fans there, that's been strange.
Yeah, that's part. Like, because sometimes I'm not the fastest dude, you know what I mean? So if I break out a run or a pass or something like that, and you hear the fans yelling, you know what I mean? Okay. You know what I mean? So I know I'm good. I know nobody's behind me. Or I know things like that. But it is tough now where there's no excitement. You don't get amped from the fans. It is awkward. Very extremely awkward.
Shady, you got some receivers on this team, man. I mean, you're talking about Mike Evans. You mentioned Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, even Scottie Miller coming on, man.
Yeah.
And you got the tight ends you have. Have you ever – well, you were around a group – last year, let's measure. Those are two great groups of wide receivers. What's in Kansas City and what's here in Tampa? What are your thoughts on the group that's in Tampa?
I'm excited to play with these guys. I mean, these guys are really good, extremely smart. And you know what? And another thing that they don't get enough credit for is not being selfish. You know, these guys, man, you got three all-pro receivers, right?
Right.
Then you got some guys in the tight end room that's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Then even the backfield. You know, you got Rojo, who's playing lights out, second rounder. Then you got Leonard Fournette, fourth overall, has a lot of talent. You know what I mean? A lot of talent. Then myself. You know, so I think, like, this group is so good talent-wise, but also they don't get enough credit for their attitudes, where some guys are taking the backseat to other guys. I'm used to getting 10 targets a game. Now I'm getting 5-4, you know, and I'm being okay with it just to win. You know, and that shows, man, a true teammate. You know, and that's one thing I'm really proud about a lot of guys on the team. We want to win at any cost.
I got to give them credit. They're stronger than me. They're stronger than I am. I ain't that strong, buddy. I just ain't that strong. I don't mind you playing, but you got to know I got to get mine. We got a number for you, and it ain't my number. That's how that would have played out for me. But we're at a different time, and they're throwing the ball so much more now, so everybody can really eat. Right, you know, everybody can really eat now.
You might have throw the ball 40 times, you know what I'm saying? So, hey.
Right.
You don't need
right.
12 targets to get, you know, 8,900 yards. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's easy now. It's never easy, but it's doable now, man. And I know I got to let you go, man, but I want to ask, how confident are you that this Tampa team can get to a Super Bowl?
Well, this is the thing. You know, I can't give you that answer, but I can give you this answer. I'm very confident that we'll get to the playoffs. And then once you're in, anything's possible. You know, that's if I was telling the guys, like, because this team hasn't been in the playoffs, you know, and they're asking questions. I'm like, yo, once we get there, then everything else is done. Now we can settle down. We can game plan each game at a time, you know, and focus on that game. You know, because now it's like you're calculating, okay, we have this many wins, they have that many wins, I mean, all that type of stuff, you know, for the seeding, I'm saying.
Right.
We just want to get in there and get it, have a chance. Because I think once we get in the playoffs with this type of – with these coaches – and these players, we have a good shot, man, to make a bowl. And I'm very confident in it, for sure.
And the remaining schedule, you just got the Falcons twice and the Lions once. That could end the season at 11-5. You win out, which I do believe you guys should easily win out and get ready for that run, that championship run. Now, LeSean, Shady, you won Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
If that thing works out and you win a Super Bowl this year, and be the first person, be the first one to win a Super Bowl in their home stadium. Do you do what very few has had the chance to do and say, I'm riding off on this white horse? How much more does Shady have in him? And does Shady walk away after he wins back-to-back Super Bowls if Tampa wins this year?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I'm not sure, really. You know, who knows? You know, who knows? Because I still feel like I could play this game at a good level, at a high level still. You know, but get a championship, It's like, oh, you got two of them back to back. I mean, but you never know. You know, you never know. But how I feel now, I still want to play.
Right.
Now, I won't play for just any team, though. I will say that. That's what I will guarantee that. Right. I can't play for any team. As long as a team that's competing for a championship at this age, I'll do that. But you never know, man. So we'll see. Let's worry about getting a championship this year first.
Right. And God has been good enough to give you those options. You know what I'm saying? If you choose to want to play so LeSean McCoy Jr. can see you a little bit more, ain't nothing wrong with that, my brother.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, man. Thanks for taking the time, man, and giving us the time.
Oh, it's always love. You my guy, man.
I appreciate that, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
All right, playmaker. Yep, take it easy.
Man, I truly appreciate LeSean Shady McCoy spending a little time, man. What a phenomenal talent that dude is, man. I mean, talking about cut on a dime and make you look like a fool reaching down to get that 9 cents. That's exactly what he did. He was a playmaker. Because right now it's time for me to share with you my playmakers of the week. I can't take this anymore, folks. I can't take this anymore. It's almost like, just put it in right now. Week 15, Derrick Henry, 200-plus rush yards. Write it in right now. He did it again. 215 rush yards, 2 rush TDs, and he added 2 receptions, 7 yards as the Titans beat the Jags 31-10. Derrick Henry, man, we can make Derrick Henry the playmaker of the week every week. Every week. Certainly the playmaker of the year, the way he's playing and keep putting up 200 yards rushing. Everybody in their mammy, pappy, brother, sister, cousin, niece, nephew knows he getting the ball. And nobody can stop it. It's truly, y'all, it's truly phenomenal. Speaking of running, this young runner, man, I'm telling you, I watched a dude at Wisconsin. He's a bad boy. And now getting the chance to watch him with the coach. I love the way he's coming along. Jonathan Taylor rushed for 150 yards, 2 rush TDs, and he caught the ball a couple of times, 2 receptions for 7 yards when the Colts beat the Raiders 44-27. He is one of my honorable mention playmakers because I love, like I told you before, that journey. But you know who one of my dudes are, man? One of my dudes in this league that I'm crazy about, man. I love the kind of dude he is and spend time with him. It's Stephon Diggs. And he keeps showing up every week now. Him and the relationship he has with Josh Allen. Dude, I'm telling y'all, watch this. It's going to be great for a long time. You already heard Shady McCoy talk about the maturation of Josh Allen, and now he has a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs. They're going to be doing great things for a long time. Diggs went 10 receptions, 130 yards with 1 receiving TD. He was beating the Steelers all over the place. And the fact is, that game for the Bills tell them we can play with all the big boys in the AFC. The only person we should be scared of is that giant called Patrick Mahomes. That's who you should be scared of, or that's who you should be preparing for. But my top playmaker of the week, I don't want anybody to think I'm biased, because I live on one side of the ball. And I always hear people talk that noise. Defense wins championships. Stop that. Stop lying. You can play defense all game long. If you get 100 plays, you can stop somebody for 99 plays. 99 plays. And they score on that last play. And your offense didn't score. Guess what? You lose the game because 99 plays you stopped them, but that one you did not. Defenses don't win championships. It gives you an opportunity to win championship. But turnovers, sacks, when you get a defense that does turnovers and sacks, a turnover and sacking defense, that's a championship winning defense. Stopping people won't do it by themselves. You got to
to get the ball from them, and you got to sack their quarterback. That's why I am giving the Cardinals Haason Reddick my top playmaker of the week. I don't want this bias coming my way. I go on to the defensive side, and I find playmakers. When you sack a man five times after you get the first sack, we already on the sideline talking about, okay, we circle him. You got to watch this guy. And then you get a second sack, that's when the yelling come out. Who's blocking Haason Reddick? Somebody got to block Haason Reddick. What's going on? And even after that, the man sacked you three more times. Oh, my God. Offensive lineman and offensive line coach, they slept not one wink this night. They had what you call Haason Reddick nightmares all night long. He is my top playmaker of the week.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live, drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you agree.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I just can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.